It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery, exploring iCoat epoxy. Rachel, good to see you back. How's everything?
Oh, it's good to be back, Ian, and everything is good. I'm no longer sick, and I'm feeling good. It's a beautiful day outside. I don't know if it's beautiful where you guys are, but in Arizona, it's like, what? What's the temperature, you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be in the mid-70s today in February, so kind of a blessing. For our listeners, we've had some really amazing interviews lately. If you haven't heard it with Anne Niebsch, with Rachel Croxall from Blossom and Rhyme, and with Olivia Lee, they're just long form, but they are so informative. And for anyone in this industry who's looking to expand on what they're doing and make it more of a career, you've got to listen to these three. All three of these ladies, Rachel, give us a roadmap for success in this industry.
They have, and they're eloquent speakers. They're all really enjoyable people to be able to hang out with for an hour as well, you know, and I'm still planning on going to Rachel's business, you know.
Yeah, in Tennessee, she wants people to drop in, correct?
Yeah, I do want to drop in sometime. I've always wanted to make it to Tennessee, so we'll see if I ever make it to Tennessee.
What I love about what all three of them said, none of them had any fear of giving out information that would negatively affect their business. All of them, to a T, said there is so much work out there that for anyone starting doing preservations for, you know, weddings, funerals, whatever, there is so much demand and there is so much work, and it really is just a case of committing yourself to it, and there's a future to be had doing it. So to do all of those amazing works that we've mentioned, you know, we've had episodes talking about all the things you can make with epoxy, and you need tools.
Yes.
Beyond the gloves, the stirring sticks, the plastic buckets and things like that, you need some tools. So today we're going to cover tools of the trade. And for everybody listening, if you want to look up the links we talk about, they're on the website. Just go to artist.icoatproducts.com and you'll see in the top layer, there's a link for tools. Now, just to give you a heads up, these are not tools that we actually sell ourselves, but Tim, who owns the company and is very particular about what tools to recommend, has found on Amazon some of the best that are out there, everything from heating mats to vacuum chambers and so on. Mm-hmm. We've also made sure that the money we make on commissions on this goes to a charity. And you can come and check that out. Of course, it's not a lot of money, but it's just, we want you to have the best tools. We want you to be able to complete the job right from the get-go. So we're going to cover some of these tools and we'll talk about what they're used for, and we'll get to a point where you'll feel better. So, Rachel, let's start with safety tools.
Alrighty, safety tools. Let's see. So there are a few really good ones on here, but I'll start with the full face gas respirator mask.
You can get either a full face or a half face respirator. Mm-hmm. The reason for a respirator is for when you're doing a lot of projects at the same time in a closed space. Mm-hmm. If you were working with this product outside, or if it's just a one-off product in a, you know, fairly decent sized room, you're not going to need a respirator. There's going to be no issue unless you have some kind of allergy. So these respirators, like Rachel from Blossom and Rhyme was saying, you know, sometimes they've got a ton of projects going in this, you know, I think, what did she say? 6,000 square feet?
Yeah.
You know, so they have a big space, but at the same time, when you get enough of that chemical reacting in that same space, just to be safe, you probably want a respirator. Just to be safe. Now, I think if we remember rightly, OSHA actually came in and told her that, yeah, you can use an N95 mask most of the time if you're just doing smaller projects. If you get to a full face respirator, it's because you've got a lot of stuff going on. Now, the difference between the full face and the half face is the full face covers your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's
so that's more so like sanding and stuff
correct.
Like that.
I
wear that.
And also, Tim said to me on one interview I did with him that one of the biggest mistakes and the worst things that can happen with epoxy is when people don't wear eye protection when they're mixing it.
Ooh.
Just in case someone hits go on the drill while there's still epoxy on it and it hits someone in the eye.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that because that'd be really hard to get out of your eye.
Oh, it can go behind. It can cause really bad, like anything. It can cause really bad problems. So that's what the full face is. So if you're wearing the half face respirator, wear our eye protection. Now, we don't have on these links eye protection because eye protection is whatever people feel comfortable wearing. Some people want a full protection that goes around the sides. Other people want just either sunglasses or just clear glasses, but something that covers. So the chances of you getting anything in your eye is protected. So, you know, there are a few really, really interesting and important things safety-wise for your body to do. So, like you said, Rachel, for sanding, cut something so you're not breathing in the dust.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're doing a lot of molds at the same space or a lot of epoxies being cured at the same time in an enclosed room, for breathing as well. But always eye protection. I think that's just one of the biggest things. If you got a bit in your mouth, you could spit it out. But if it goes in your eye, now you're in trouble.
Yeah, right? Now you might need to take a trip to at least the urgent care or the hospital.
Oh, well, absolutely, without a doubt. Yeah. So, you know, that's one that definitely, definitely, definitely should be. Okay, let's move on from safety, because they're really the only main safety things that you actually need to actually, we were just talking about it, mixing, right? So let's think of the, and actually let's do this. Let's do mixing and the preparation of the space.
Okay.
Right?
Wow. Because
let's say you're doing it in your living room, Rachel. You want to do it in your living room. What are the first things you're going to do?
One of the first things I'm going to do is take some of this brown craft paper and the masking paper, and I'm going to work with that. I'm going to cover the immediate area that I think would, you know, be dealt with. Maybe even a few extra things. Like, I have a lot of wood in my house that I wouldn't necessarily want epoxy to get on because mine is just raw wood.
Right.
So I'd probably cover that stuff, and then I'd get that ye olde Scotch blue tape. I love painter's tape.
Yeah,
people don't use it enough for things. But I would take that and I would just tape down every edge. I would make sure everything's covered. It's super easy to use and it's not too sticky. It's just sticky enough to hold things down. So that's what I love about it, is it doesn't leave like a residue behind. So that's really nice. No annoying tape. Like if you use duct tape, there'd be residue, you know? So use Scotch blue tape, because it's an amazing thing and enough people use it.
Hey, you know what I was going to say is when we've done countertops and you actually are using a lot of epoxy and mixing a lot of epoxy on site, that's where you want to paper everywhere. If you're just doing a small project, paper around your table, paper under your table. Mm-hmm. And even if you're worried that you're going to poke holes in your paper, use drop cloths, because the reality is that but use craft paper on the sides. And here's the great reason. If you're using drop cloths and you stand in the epoxy and you don't realize it, you could walk off onto, say, tile or hardwood floors, and before you know it, you've left residue. You're leaving bits of epoxy if you're not careful. Like, you know, my wife always makes a joke for me, Rachel, because I think I painted most of the inside of my house and hardly ever used a drop cloth. And
yeah.
And I've probably made two drips the whole time.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just one of those people. And I've done epoxy projects in the house as well, where I have put down craft paper. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Rolling it back up? I'm like, well, didn't get anything on it. So Just going to roll it back up and use it again.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's the ultimate form of recycling is immediate.
I get called cheap, but right. You know, it's, I don't want to throw it away if it hasn't been used. Craft paper is really good for that. So you can actually see whether you've actually moved it around. And then let's get on to mixing. So those beautiful buckets from Home Depot or Lowe's, those big 3-gallon buckets, they're perfect for mixing epoxy in. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things you can get from there, especially if you're doing a larger amount of epoxy, and I'm talking, maybe you're mixing a full gallon or 2 gallons, is you can actually get an attachment for your drill, and it's got a silicon end on it that spins around. Now, this is where I've seen this happen, where some guy's drilling and he lifts it up out of the epoxy and it splashes.
Yeah. People's
clothes. That's where if you haven't got goggles on, it hits you in the eye, right? I mean, you be smart with this. Think about it. We've got some great videos on the site to show you how to do mixing safely on bigger batches. But if you're just doing small batches, right? So those little plastic white 3M mixing buckets that maybe take, you know, a quart or something like that. Now you're just mixing with a stirring stick.
Yeah. Yeah, and those stirring sticks come in handy because they're just pretty cheap for
Exactly. The same with the chip brushes. Things like the chip brushes for doing edging and just moving the epoxy around. But get quality chip brushes because the last thing you want to be doing is picking, you know, hairs from the brush out of your epoxy the whole time, right?
Oh, goodness. Especially when you're working with epoxy. Like, I've gotten ones from Michaels and that it's terrible for painting even. So I can't imagine trying to use that for epoxy where it's actually sticky and kind of, you know, a little bit of pull to it while you're spreading it. So yeah, definitely get some good quality ones because you don't want little hairs in there. It'll annoy you.
Yeah. And the nice thing about those 3M buckets as well is the plastic they're made of. If you have any, just maybe let's say you've got like a small amount of epoxy left over that you didn't use, you just leave it to harden. You wiggle the bucket and it basically just comes straight out and you just throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. You know, once it's actually hardened. So you can keep reusing those buckets. And I'm one of those tactile people that loves to be peeling the epoxy off the inside of the bucket or paint off the outside of a plastic thing.
Yeah.
That's just me, right? You're finding these are my oddities, but I do love doing it. It's like, I love that sort of stuff. So yeah, mixing, real easy. But again, like Rachel said earlier, the brown craft paper, get that down on your tables, get that down on the floor, tape it down, use the painter's tape to seal it all up. And now you've got a great space to be able to be creative without worrying too much and without doing a lot of cleanup as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the best part, is not having a ton of cleanup. It's right. Just like dishes. It's just like making dinner. It's just like anything else in that way. Nobody wants to do the thing and then also clean the thing for a long time after.
Exactly. And one thing we do have on the very front page of the website as well is a best practices sheet. And for anyone who hasn't heard that term, hasn't been in business, mm-hmm. best practices is an industry's way of saying, this is the best way you should do something to get the best result. And it covers a lot in how to prepare mixing epoxy to get the best result out of it. Now, this is where I've actually learned, Rachel, an awful lot lately about this industry because, you know, one of the things that I've heard comments from people, they've said, I got my epoxy and it was just really thick and it didn't mix well and the end result was really terrible. And I've talked to Tim, and one of the things Tim said is they probably didn't have it at the right temperature.
Mm-hmm. It was probably a little too, just a little too cool.
Yeah, so right, because the colder it is, the more viscous it's going to be. You heat it up, now it starts to actually become, you know, thinner.
Yeah.
And this is what's really interesting. If you're doing bigger batches that you're mixing, one of the old school ways of doing it, people would actually put hot water in these big 3-gallon buckets and put their gallon bottles of epoxy in these buckets. You know, and they would use a heat gun, and there's a heat gun as one of the tools we'd recommend as well to get it to exactly that right temperature. But now I think people have sort of got clever, which is there's these heating mats that are used for reptiles, that are used for different, you know, animal projects.
Yeah.
It's almost like a heating blanket, right? That's a plastic thing you put down. Now what they're doing, Rachel, is they're putting those on the floor and putting their bottles on the heating blanket.
That's so smart.
Right? And it gradually, because it's not fast heat and like putting it on a stovetop or something.
Yeah, you don't want it to burn. You don't want to do that,
exactly. Yeah. It just warms them up slowly.
Yeah. And with that, you can control the temperature, just like, you know, you don't even, and on this, at least this large heat mat and digital thermostat, like you don't even need the heat gun per se if it's for that specific purpose. So that's another thing. You can just be like, oh, it's to the right temperature, let me go ahead and pour it, and then bam, it's done half the work for you.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different options for that, all different sizes. So if you're doing small projects, let's say you're doing jewelry, you can actually get one of the really small ones and just put it on your desk, put the bottles on top of it, and just let it warm up. And it just gradually warms them to a good temperature, which is exactly what you want. Now, Something I just watched lately, which I found fascinating, is these vacuum chambers. And for anyone who hasn't
used... I was wondering about that.
Right. So anyone who hasn't used a vacuum chamber, what are they for? Well, I'll tell you what they're for. Is when you mix a part A and part B of your epoxy, you'll get gases in there which will create little air bubbles as well, and it's created from, I think, a little bit of moisture, whatever it is, it creates these little bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
People use the vacuum chambers because it actually sucks out all of the air and the moisture from the epoxy or the water. Which actually make it even clearer. So if you're using cheap epoxy, this will help. It won't make it great. I even asked him about, I said, but we have bubble release formula, so do they need it? He said, they don't really need it, but it does a great job of taking out all of those little extra bubbles that, you know, if you're doing someone's wedding preservation, you want as fewer bubbles as possible in the mix.
Yeah, crystal clear.
Yeah. Now, So that's what the vacuum chambers are for. And there's all different sizes based on how much epoxy you're actually using, because obviously you want to use enough to have a consistent pour on a job. Make sure it's mixed properly, it's at the right temperature, into the vacuum chamber, clear out all those extra bubbles, and you know, you're in a great shape at that point in time. But there's one other tool that I saw as well, and this is really fascinating because we've shown in the past, if you look at some of the videos on the site, they show you how to use a heat gun to take out bubbles on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing a really complex flower preservation in a mold, as you're pouring, you want to make sure as the epoxy is finding and leveling itself in the gaps between the flowers, you may actually get an air pocket that pushes up and creates a bubble of an air pocket in those flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm going to just tell our listeners, go to our site and have a look at this, because there's a really, really cool tool to remove bubbles from epoxy in these flower preservations and in intricate designs. And it's almost like a lower level soldering iron. And it's absolutely perfect for just nicking into the gaps and finding these little bubbles and just popping them out. And we'll actually, in the show notes, have a link to this video that's on the site, because it's really fascinating how it just removes all these extra bubbles. Because at the end of the day, what you want is great mixed epoxy, crystal clear, beautifully preserved, either flowers or whatever you're doing, or jewelry that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And you want it to be where everyone's just absolutely wowed by it. And if you follow these techniques, you're going to come away really pleased with what you've got. Now, Rachel, I was going to cover molds, but on the site we don't do molds, because there's a lot of mold manufacturers out there. A lot of them are using similar silicones. It really is down to finding somebody who has quality molds, go to them, try them out, check them out, what they're doing. We didn't want to get into recommending molds more so the preparation and safety tools is what we want to do. But there are some great mold people. I think Rachel had a great mold company that she recommended in her video, and I think Olivia did too.
Yeah, I think they both did. And I think they might have said that they have links on their website to that or something, possibly.
Think you're 100% on there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because what I really liked about both of them is, like, there's just nowadays we hear a lot about gatekeeping and just a lot about how people are like, we don't want to reveal how we do things because we want to keep us the only people doing it this way. And of course, with like certain formulas, totally understandable. You know, you have to stand out in this world. However, when it comes to things like that, it's a level of like gatekeeping. And that's what I realized about both of them is like, they're the opposite of that. Like you were kind of saying earlier, like, they're like, you know, we want to be transparent. I remember Rachel said she started in that small room and then moved to a huge space, you know? Right. And yeah, like that's also something that I feel like is important for people to know. It's like, you're not always going to start off with 4,000 to 6,000 square feet of space. You might just start off with, you know, 4 to 6 square
feet. Yeah, 4 to 6, right? Or 4 to 600 if you're lucky. Yeah, but no, you're right. You know, so there's some of the tools of the trade. We're going to be adding more as we find ones that we want to recommend. Others will tell you that there's a ton of other tools out there, again, like stirring sticks and 3M buckets, but you know, they're table stakes when you're dealing with epoxy resin. So on the website, it's artist.icoatproducts.com, and it's the tools link, which takes you to tools of the epoxy resin trade. And Rachel, we'll just have to keep adding in as we go along. If people want to contact us, they can message us through the website or through the podcast as well. Any last thoughts from you on tools of the trade?
No, not really. I think that so far what we've got on here already is covered really well. And I know that Tim has been doing this for a long time, and he has, you know, his own methods of madness to the way he does things. But I think that this is like, you know, condensed it down to like some things that would be really, really helpful and that he knows would be really helpful. So I think just, you know, starting off with this would be, you know, a good place to go with that.
Yeah. And I think for everyone, for me, get the best practices sheet. It's free. It's on the front page of the website. Just download that as well and then check out the tools. And if you have any further questions, yeah, write to us or contact us through the podcast. So until next time, Rachel, Resin Mastery, Explore and iCoat Epoxy, and we'll see you again next time.
Until next time. Bye, guys.